Shalom, my brother, the Mesechus Baba Metzia, Daf Kuf Yud. Today's Daf discusses a Mashkan field when the Mashkan was given for years, but they didn't specify how many years. Discuss various arguments when they're arguing how long the Mashkan was for, when the Orus is arguing how much percentage he was supposed to give. They discuss how to pay for the Shevach of the field, where does that payment come from. What happens to the Shevach when the Baal Chayv comes and repossesses the field? And then we move into the sugya of Laisalin, paying workers on time. Well, it's considered on time. We had left off yesterday with a question whether a Mashkan field that goes dry mid-term, is that produce considered payrois, so that the Malva gets to keep it? Or is it considered keren, where you'll reinvest it, the wood, the timber that's left over, the leva still has a mashkan. Now in the sugya, the Gemara has the second kasha, we had one yesterday. Today is the kasha, it comes from the sugya of Nichsi Malug. If a wife gets a Yerusha of vineyards, olives, but they're already dried out, so the husband is allowed to eat the pears of the Nichsi Malug, but this Nichsi Malug has no pears. So they sell the lumber of the vines, and you buy other land, maybe a little less, with fresh fruits that the husband can eat from. You see over here that you do reinvest it, and you do look at them at it like keren. Kashon Abai, who says that it has a din of payrus. Gemara has two answers. Either it's not that she yarshened these vineyards when they were dried, it's that they dried out way too quickly. There, Taka, well, everyone agrees that it'll be considered keren. Alternatively, this vineyard that she inherited was in a different field. If they didn't sell it and reinvest to buy a tree that's in her property, then she would have nothing if the tree were to go to the husband. Gemara has an interesting case here. It's a case of a shtar that was written for years. You get to hold on to this field as a mashkan for years, but it didn't say how many years. The Malva said it was 3, the Leva said it was only 2 years. Now, over here he had a shtickle, aggressive Malva. He ran into the field, ate all the pears, and he's still tithing. I just took it out of my year. It was a 3-year loan, not a 2-year loan. I had this mashkan for this entire year. And now that he actually has it, what do we say? So Yehuda says, karkas is with the chazoka of the Leva, the owner, we're going to believe him to say it's 2. But Rav Kahana says, no, the payers are going to go with the Alba, who now has the chazaka on the payers. It's in his kitchen. The nice of the halacha is like Rav Kahana, that we go with the payers where they are. The Malva probably shouldn't have done that in the first place. The Gemara says, 1 second, we say that we go with the chazaka of the payers, but we pass on like Rav Nachman by any monetary situations. He says that the karka, we follow the chazak of the karka. It'll go with the loive and his claim of 2 years. Gemara says, Rabbi Nachman only said that we follow the chazak of the land when it's an issue that will never be resolved, will definitely never be resolved. But over here, when we're just trying to figure out what happened with the shtar, we could determine that at some point in the future. We could track down the edim of the shtar, and they'll say, oh yeah, it said 2 years, it said 3 years. Over here, once the payers are with the Malva, we will follow the chazaka of the payers, even though normally we talk about follow the chazaka of the land. Now, in another scenario, the Malva claims it was 5 years. Loiva claims 3. The Malva says, okay, bring a proof if you want to take it back earlier. Loiva says, I lost it. If you who the paskins here, that we trust the Malva that it's actually 5 years. Because he's already had this field for 3 years, and if he wanted to, he has a migu, he could claim that it's his, just through this chazaka. You could say he bought it. So Mimele will believe him that it's actually 5 years, also considering the Levit doesn't have a shtar to prove otherwise. Papa tells Rav Ashi, Rav Zvid and Rav Aviro did not think like Rav Yehuda. They disagreed. Why? The Malva has this shtar. He lent money. He should have very much held on to that shtar. Be careful not to lose it because all the money is in that shtar. If he lost it, probably hiding it so that he could squeeze an extra 2 years out of this mashkoin. Ravina tells Rav Ashi, if that's true, if someone gave a mashkin to surah, we discussed earlier in Samach Vav, where the field is given to the malveh without any expense to him, it doesn't come out of the loan. But Yehuda is saying that we have this migu that the guy could just say he bought it. The malveh can still blackmail the loiveh. But the Rabbanan set up a mashkan to surah in a way that the malveh at any point after 3 years can say, you know what, I could just say it's mine, so I could claim anything. I could claim it was a 50-year mashkan. So the Gemara answers that the Rabbanan set a field safe in place that the loiveh, the actual owner of this field, pays the taxes on this field and digs the ditches. That retains his right to claim that it's his land. If he didn't, or if this field doesn't have taxes or ditches, then he would have to make a machal. And if he didn't make a machal, that's his problem. As long as you make a machal within those 3 years, the squatter, the guy who's actually in the field for 3 years, no longer has that claim. Say that he's the buyer. Now the Gemara presents a machlokes, so the Oris tells the landowner, I was told that I was going to work here and get half of the profits. The Baal Bayis said, no, I only promised you a third. Who do we trust? Yehuda tells us that we always trust the Baal Bayis. Rabbi Nachman says over here we're going to trust the Minhag HaMedina. The Minhag is talking like what the Baal Bayis said, then we'll go with the Baal Bayis. But otherwise, we'll go with whatever the Minhag is. I was assuming that it's not actually an Achlaikas. Rabbi Mori Barod the Baal Shmuel says in the name of Abaye, they are actually arguing in a place where the Oris gets half. Because over there, Rabbi Yehuda would say that the Baal Bayis is believed. Why? Because he could claim, he has this migu, I can claim that you're not an Oris at all. You're working for me. I'm paying you, but you don't get any percentage. Forget half. So be happy with the third that you get it. Everyone brings another case of Yisoymim. Someone's coming to claim their father's property. And the Yisoymim say, when my father died, it was worth $100. Since then, we've made it go up in value. You only get $100 of this field. You don't get the full 120. But the Baal Chayv says, no, it was already 120 in your father's lifetime. Who has to bring a proof? So I wanted to say that the land is in the Chazaka of Yisoymim. So the Baal Chayv has to bring the raya. The Sahu Saba tells Rechanin and Nimav Yechanon, they really do say you have to bring a raya. Why? Since the creditors have rights to this field, it's as if it's already in their rishos. It's as if the chazak is already with the creditors, with the Baal Chayv. So the Saimim, even though they're technically walking around on the field, they don't have the chazak on it. They're going to want, they have to bring a raya that the Shevach was only after their father died. Abaye also learns from Mishnah, it says, Halacha, you're not supposed to have your tree close to the city. It'll get in the way. But if you're not sure what came first, the city or the tree, you cut down the tree and you don't even have to pay the owner for it. You see, since a tree near a city already has a chazaka, it's going to be cut down. That's its status. Owner wants to keep his tree. He has to bring a raya keneged the standing flow, which will be that we're going to chop down the tree. If you want us to not do that, you bring a raya keneged. It's going to happen otherwise. So too, by the assignment, the Baal Chayv already are, they're going to collect the field. You have to prove that they shouldn't collect all of it, and that you should be able to keep the shvach. Back in the story, the assignment actually did bring a raya that they were the ones that made the field go up in value after the father's patira. Rabbi Yochanan thought that they should get paid that shvach from the land, save over a piece of land that's worth the $20 that they appreciated it. But the Gemara says that's not true. The truth is that the collectors pay off the assignment for that extra $20 and they keep the full $120 field. It comes from Rabbi Nachman Amar Shmuel, who says that there are three situations where you evaluate what the shvach is. And instead of paying from the item, you pay cash. The first one is a bechor and his little brother when they're dividing the property. So if the property had gone up in value after the father died, the bechor is going to get pishnayim, but not pishnayim from that extra shevach that happened afterwards. So over there, they're going to pay off the bechor, but not from the property. They're paying cash. Second is the Baal Chayv who's collecting from Ksubas Isha, in our case of Yisraelim. And the third is the Baal Chayv who's collecting from a repossessing property from a buyer. Bought it from someone who owed this guy money. And Ravina tells Ravashi, is Shmuel really telling us that a Baal Chayv pays the Kuchas cash when they made it go up in value? There's no Shevach by a buyer. Shmuel says that Baal Chayv collects even the Shvach that happened after the buyer took it. If you want to say maybe that's not a kasha, the Gemara answers. But the Baal Chayv only collects Shevach from the tall harvesting crops, but not the other ones. But we see all the time that by Shmuel, that he would let them collect even from the crops that are already harvesting. They're already really tall, already reaching their shoulders. So the Gemara answers that the Nafka Mina, when does Shmuel say that the Baal Chayv gets to keep the Shevach of the buyers? That's when the Shevach, together with the value of the land, worth less than the loan. Baal Chayv does not have to pay the Lekeach for the Shevach that it went up in value, still worth less than the amount that he was owed. On the flip side, he would have to pay the Lekeach if it's more than what he's owed. It says this only works according to the man, the Omar. Says that if the buyer has enough money to pay off the Baal Chayv, he could pay them so that he doesn't have to go find another field to buy. But there's a man, the Omar, that says that even if the Lekeach has money to pay off the Baal Chayv can still take the land. Between these two shitas, if you hold that the Lekeach is able to buy off the Baal Chayv, then why can't he tell off the Baal Chayv in either case? Whatever money I have, I could have rescued and made sure that you couldn't repossess it. So I find now I don't have all that money, but I have that koyach. If I would have the money, so at least leave me a piece of the land for the shevach that I built into the property. My answer is that the lekeach cannot pull off and keep any of this property because this property was set up as an apotiki that the Baal Chayv was supposed to davka collect from this land. He'll have to go and recollect his property from the guy who he bought it from, but he can't hold on to any of this property. This property was already designated for this Baal Chayv. Now we move into the next chilek of our perek. We discuss paying the workers. It tells us that if someone gets a field from his friend for a week, for a shavua, for 7 full years, Shemitah is included in that. And he's going to have to, even though he's not working for that Shemitah year, he's going to be paid just like every other year. But if he just was hired for 7 years, not a 7-year Shemitah cycle, then Shemitah is not included because it's not a year that you work. Gemara says that if someone works by day, he can collect his money following night. If someone works by night, he can collect his money. He is to be paid the following day. If a guy works a few hours, collect all night and all next day. Someone is working for a week, a month, a year, or even for a Shemitah cycle. The day that he finishes the job, he could collect all that day. If he leaves night, he could leave all that night and all of it the next day. Gemara says, what's the Makor in the Torah that someone who works by day can collect that night? The Pasuk says, Lo solin bu'ula socher o'yischo ad boiker. Don't hold on to his wages until the next morning. Have that night to pay him off. You know that someone who works at night can be paid the next day because it says b'yoymer titin scharay, you pay him the next day. Okay. Who says the pesukim are going on night workers and day workers? Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe night only gets night and day only gets day. Well, you only pay at the end of the job. Memela, we know that it's talking about the following time period. Gemara says, why do I need the pesuk of ad boiker? The selim pula socher tells me not to hold on to his wages. The morning is telling me have the first morning after the job to pay him back and no later. What happens after that? So the Rav says it's still an issue of Rabbanan of Baal Tishev holding on to his wages, but this is the Raisa triggers the next morning. Rabbi Yosef says that the pasuk of Al Toimer L'Reacha Eich V'Shuv O'Mocher Atein V'Yesh Itoch in Mishle tells us the cart for Baal Tishev holding on to a worker's wages. Thank you for learning with me. Have a wonderful day.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.